We thank you for the blessings that you bring us. We thank you for the times of waiting, for restoration, and for love. Amen. Is this one working? Lately, we've been hearing this amazing song from Rent, Seasons of Love. It's in our rotation of songs right now that the choir is singing. And in the message of Rent, we hear about how do we become relevant and how do we live in the time of waiting. In the context of Rent, they're talking about many who will not live to see another year. They say, you know, how do you live in that 525,600 minutes, the number of minutes in a year, when it is your last year on earth? It is an anthem for justice. It's an anthem for living life to its fullest. And strangely enough, it brings me to Amos, the social justice prophet, as he's often known. People know this line, we've heard it so many times. Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. How beautiful is that? But what we often don't realize is the anger and the frustration that preceded that sentence. Like the characters in Rent, living in a time when life was so uncertain, living with HIV in a time when a diagnosis was a death sentence, living with the anger that people didn't care enough about their lives, didn't care enough that they were dying. There is anger in Rent. There is anger in those voices. And I remember coming of age in that time, first meeting people in the gay community, knowing people who wouldn't live much longer, and the frustration and the anger as we were all waiting. Didn't know what we were waiting for because, quite frankly, a lot of folks, we didn't have a lot of faith that it would get better. So we lived in that place in the 90s, in the 80s, a little before my time. I mean, I was around, but I wasn't. We waited, not knowing what was coming, not knowing if we had the right to hope. And Amos speaks to that frustration, that pain. Amos, prophet of God, talks about the emptiness of worship, worship that doesn't mean anything. Talks about the frustration of God being offered nothingness, and says it is darkness and not light, as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear. Now, for some of us, being met by a bear is like really awesome, but that is not what Amos is talking about. Amos is talking about going from desolation to more desolation and waiting is so difficult. Waiting is difficult for us, right? You know, in the kids' message, we were hearing from the kids, and although they are shockingly patient, at least Hannah admitted that she gets really impatient and doesn't like to wait. Anyone else, or is everyone here like, I love waiting? The DMV is my favorite place. We have to wait. We have to wait all the time. We're hungry and we need to wait for food. We're bored. We need to wait and wait and wait. And we are also waiting for the bigger things. We are waiting for justice. We are waiting for equality. We are waiting for freedom. I know I bring up Puerto Rico every week, but I do that because we are standing in solidarity with Puerto Rico while they are waiting. They are waiting for electricity, they're waiting for enough food, they're waiting for security and comfort. And we will continue to stand in that place of solidarity, and we will also wait. The Matthew text that we heard today is also about waiting. And it teaches us that Jesus comes in many ways. The metaphor that Jesus uses in this story is the groom coming to the wedding, and the wedding party is waiting. Now, in this time, it's not exactly how weddings were done today. The bridegroom would have been off with his father-in-law navigating a dowry and all of those things. And the wedding party is waiting and waiting, and he doesn't show up when he's supposed to, and they keep waiting. And the text tells us that some people were wise and some people were foolish. This group of young women who were waiting to celebrate this union. So the wise ones brought their lamps and brought extra oil. The foolish ones didn't bring any extra oil. What does that mean? What is that about? Once again, we find another text that gets used and misused as an example of how some people are saved and some people aren't. But that's not really what it's about. It does matter being prepared. And yes, in the story we hear that those who didn't have the oil for their lamps went out to get more and came back and couldn't get into the party. But it is telling us that we need to be prepared. Not for divine judgment. We don't have to say just the right words in just the right way to just the right people in order to get through some secret passageway. We're not a video game. We are human souls. The message is to have faith. So those who brought the extra oil knew that it might take longer than others thought for the bridegroom who, you know, this is a metaphor, of course, for Christ coming. It might take longer than we expect. And when this text was written down, a long time after the time of Jesus, this was written for a community that was waiting, thinking that every single day could be the day that Jesus would come back. Waiting and losing faith and living in injustice and seeing things that aren't fair and thinking, when is Jesus going to show up and fix it? There have been many times in my life when I've just thought, fix it, Jesus. When I want God to intervene and fix it right now. Anyone else? All right. This text tells us that we need to wait and be prepared. And wait. And wait. And waiting is frustrating, and we will do it anyway. We will have faith amidst boredom and anxiety and stress because we never know the day nor the hour. And it's not just about Jesus appearing for the second coming. This is about the kingdom of God. And it's not just about a passive thing called waiting. It's not like when we're, you know, you pull your number at the deli or at wherever, the DMV, and you just sit there and wait. I mean, let's be real. You go on Facebook, you play the dots game on your phone. But it's not like that. This is not a passive thing. We are not just passing the time. In our waiting, we are alive with Christ's Spirit. Calling out to God, celebrating God, is not just something we say with our mouths. It is something we live in our bodies. I have spent this whole week in such a state of sadness and frustration and anger about this latest mass shooting. This idea of the sanctuary. And as I said in the weekly email, we are particularly touched by this shooting, and we're particularly touched by a shooting a year and a half ago at Pulse. Because both of these mass shootings happened in sanctuary spaces. And we those of us who are LGBT identified, those of us who came of age in the queer community, in the gay community, we know what it's like to find sanctuary in those dark places where the music is really loud and you feel it in your body. I know that that doesn't speak to everyone's experience, but just live it with me for a moment. Think about not fitting in, not knowing that there are other people like you, and that first time that you found other people like you. And so many of us found that space in the nightclub. And we know that sanctuary is anywhere where we see the reflection of God in others. And for so many of us, we found the reflection of God in the music that moved us. And it's the same with a church. That sanctuary. There's a reason why we call this room the sanctuary. This is where we find God. Not because we come to a place and God is the place. It's because of the people who come to the place with us. That's where we see God. Reflected in the faces, in the love, in the community that we build. And this church, Sutherland Springs, Texas, I'd never heard of that town before. I bet probably almost nobody in this room had heard of that town before last Sunday. That someone would go in and destroy that sanctuary and tear apart that church, that hurts us. And it doesn't matter that theologically we're on a different page. It doesn't matter that maybe we wouldn't have felt at home in that church, or maybe they wouldn't feel at home in this church, although I do hope and pray that everyone can feel at home in this church. What matters is that we know sanctuary, and we know that people came to church that morning just like we go to church on Sunday mornings. Just going for their sanctuary, going for their time together. And we know how it ended up. A town that will never be the same. And when Amos talks about God's frustration and anger and pain, that Baptist church felt that. And we feel that. Not that that was the wrath of God. We feel God hurting. God is saying, I am in pain. When you come into my sanctuary and you violate my people, I am in pain. So what are we waiting for? We are waiting for justice. And we're not just going to sit back and wait. Justice means creating the kingdom or the kingdom of God right here. Finding the love of God. Extending the love of God to others, because God has given us a really big challenge of being God's hands and feet, that our words speak the love of God, that our hands do the work of God, that we feed people in need, that we feed spirits as well as bodies. We create the kingdom of God right here. Right now, we create it through empowerment, we create it through love, we create it by bringing about the justice and the equality and the love and passion of Jesus to all people. And we look back on the story told in Rent that so mirrors the story of so many of our lives in that time, when they speak of the waiting, not knowing what they're waiting for, but waiting for better. We have a little taste of better now. 20 years after that song and that play came out, we know how we can measure the love of God among our people, and we know what we need to do to bring about God's love. And it's both terrifying and hard and messy, and it's also pretty easy to meet resistance with love, to meet hatred with love, to meet rejection with love, to take that risk, to be vulnerable, and to be a blessing in God's name. Will you pray with me? God, this world is calling out for you, weeping, scared. God, be with those survivors in Sutherland Springs, Texas. Be with them as they pick up the pieces, and be with all who are mourning. God, we know that those whose lives were lost last Sunday and in all types of violence, we know that they are with you. God, thank you for those who have served our country. Thank you for those who are a blessing and bring about your kingdom in this world. Amen.